It's the Agribusiness Report. Today, we're talking rural hospitals. Peter Justin is founder and CEO of Ameritrust Solutions. He's coming up. First off, Interior Secretary Doug Burgum.
All of those industries were being choked to death by regulation. Listening to those people that are out there, getting ideas from the people that are trying to, you know, again, you're going to hear, it's not just eighth generation, third, fourth, fifth generation. And eighth generation, of course, it was the first one I've met that was family was actually fishing during the War of 1812. You don't get to meet that every day. But it's incredible that now we're listening to the people that are actually the thing. And that's why it's so important, the working families tax cut. Because if you're talking to farmers or ranchers or timber or miner, they're working families. These are the people of America that build things. And now that we're supporting them with the tax cuts, but supporting them with the new Office of Seafood, great day for working families in America.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Our guest today is Peter Justin. Peter is founder and CEO of Ameritrust Solutions. He's been in Arlington, Texas for an annual conference focusing on rural hospitals. All right, Pete, tell us more about you and Ameritrust Solutions.
I actually started the company because of my mom. I moved my then mid-80s mother from Ohio, where I grew up, to Virginia, where I live now. I live in the Shenandoah Valley. And mom was the perfect Medicaid client. She was had high medical needs. She had limited resources, limited income. I think she had $300 a month in Social Security and half my dad's UAW pension. And it still took us 4 months to get her approved. And I thought that was terrible. You know, I would see the angst and the anxiety and the fear in her voice saying, what if I get sick? What if I need to go to the doctor? Am I going to be okay? And I thought, you know what? Medicaid is a great program, but it's got a couple challenges and we need to fix it because we have the means and the resources to fix it. So that's what we wanted to do, is focus on how to take care of the neediest of our citizens.
We're talking rural health care right now, and you understand rural communities, don't you?
You know, I live in a small town, 364 people. It's such a rural area that we don't even have a stoplight in the whole county, which I personally really like. It's one of the reasons why I live there. And it's got great fly fishing, which also I like quite a bit as well. So I understand rural communities. I understand health care needs in rural communities. You know, I'm fortunate in that I have a hospital 20 minutes from where I live, but with about 70 to 75% of rural hospitals operating in the red, many in danger of closing, it creates a care desert. Similar to a food desert in the inner city when a grocery store closes. If my local hospital shuts down, I've got at least an hour and a half drive to the next closest one. And that care desert is what we need to avoid in rural hospitals. You know, there are problems there. One of the biggest problems, in my opinion, Tony, is uncompensated care in rural hospitals. Now, what that means is, you know, Susie goes to the hospital for a treatment or some kind of problem that she's having. Hospitals are awesome. They treat people. They treat everyone that walks in the front door, regardless of ability to pay. But when we learned that of the $42 billion in uncompensated care in U.S. hospitals last year, that about a third of those people could be on Medicaid but just never bothered to apply. Now, here's what that means to a rural hospital. We just did a study on a rural hospital in Florida, 44-bed hospital in a rural area, $24 million in uncompensated care last year. They could have had a third of that hit their books. You know, they do the work, they're just not completing the system to get paid. So it's not a policy problem, it's a procedural problem. And it's a relatively easy one to solve.
Pete, are there other challenges facing rural hospitals?
Well, I think we have to get into the why rural hospitals exist, right? And here I think is one of the big challenges. If you're building a hospital in suburbia, you need doctors and nurses and beds and equipment. Right. And you have a constant inflow of patients. In rural hospitals, quite often, you have to do the same thing. You have to be staffed for challenges, but you don't have the population base that drives the patients to come in that would generate income. So there's more idle time in the hospital, but you still have, in a rural hospital, but you still have to be prepared to give the level of services. So we see hospitals consolidating. We see rural hospitals giving up some level of services like maternity care. They just can't afford it. But if we solve the problem of getting the Medicaid applications in at the time of initial contact, I mean, in a hospital in Florida we talked about, another $8 million a year hitting their bottom line, it was going to keep them open. So, you know, we look at the uncompensated care issue, we look at capacity issues, we look at hard to attract doctors to rural areas sometimes, but they all spin off the same problem. They all spin off of how do we get paid for the work that we do.
Again, we're talking with Pete Justin with Ameritrust Solutions on the Agribusiness Report.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donnie Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Our guest today, Peter Justin, founder, CEO of Ameritrust Solutions. We're talking about challenges facing rural hospitals. And, Pete, I'm just wondering, federal legislation, do we have anything? Has anything passed that can help?
The big one that came out recently is through President Trump's Big Beautiful Bill, and it's called the Rural Health Transformation. You know, when they made the changes in the bill, rural hospitals took a hit. And what they wanted to do was blunt the tip of that spear a bit. So they've allocated $50 billion, a lot of money, $50 billion for specifically for rural healthcare. And that is for hospitals to upgrade their systems, just to buy better equipment, just to buy better technology. But like many things in Washington, in my opinion, is the land of unintended consequences. Like many things in D.C., it's not like hospitals are going to get a $50 billion check. They're going to parcel it out over a few years. It's designed to improve the metrics of the hospital. So let's work on obesity issues. And if you improve your metrics on obesity issues or maternity care, then you get more money. If you improve your metrics on technology, you get more money, that sort of thing, buildings and maintenance. It's designed, I think it's a good program, but it's designed to be a bit of a carrot. So here's some money, and if you do well, we'll give you more if you used it properly. So it's not to be used to pay a past due light bill. It's used to be able to improve the metrics underlying the basic economy of the hospital. So that's the biggest thing that rural hospitals in a long time, in my opinion. I'm at a conference in Dallas this week, a rural healthcare conference, and it was a pretty hot topic of conversation among all the hospitals we spoke with.
Solutions. You know, are there solutions to some of these problems we've talked about? And if so, what are they?
I think there's a number of solutions. You know, Medicaid is a phenomenal program, $750 billion program that has literally helped hundreds of millions of people lead better lives and longer lives for generations. Since it came into being in 1964 or 5, President Johnson actually signed it into law. Phenomenal program. A lot of people feel it's just for the elderly, and that's not true. In many states, about 60% of the people on Medicaid are children. I know the 20% is an adult under 60 years old, and the balance of the 20% is 60 plus. So it's a great program that reaches across all sectors. You know, if you're a single mom with a disabled child, I got you. A case we just saw, a 43-year-old male with cancer, we got you. Another case we just saw, husband and wife in their 40s, both got laid off, had a child with needs. So they all went on Medicaid until he got a new job, then he went off. You know, it's really a great program to help people of need at the time they need it. There's a stigma that, like I said, it's only for the elderly, and that's simply not true. So one way to help stem this problem and solve the problem is by making it easier for hospitals to get people on Medicaid that should be on Medicaid at the time they enter the hospital. Now, here's what happens, Tony, is Susie comes in, she needs a procedure. First person she sees is the care team, which is how it should be. And the second person she sees is the nice little lady with the clipboard that says, "Hi, Tony, do you have insurance?" And if the answer is no, they go, "Great, check that box and treat you anyway." And then you go into the financial area to either a payment plan or bad debt, or they write it off, or a combination of all three. That problem can be solved. So what we did on Medicaid was take the application that is way too long. California is 45 pages long. Virginia has 209 questions, 700 fields on a Florida Medicaid application. So we took all of that we call it application fatigue. And I don't know about you, but I can't think of very many things I would fill out a 45-page application for. And we reduced all of that to about 10 minutes. 10 minutes down from months and months and months of getting these applications in. So if we get the 10-minute application inserted into the hospital's procedure, so when Susie comes in, Susie, maybe you should go on Medicaid and see if you're qualified. If you're qualified, 10 minutes, the application's in. What happens there is magic. Next is Medicaid will reimburse the hospital from the date of the application. That's really important. Not the procedure, the date of the application. So that what that means is the hospital gets paid from the beginning and gets paid, A, they get paid at all, B, they get paid faster, and C, they probably get paid more because more of the care of the patient will be covered by Medicaid. All triggered because the application went in online prior to any of the treatment.
Talking with Pete Justin of Ameritrust Solutions on the Agribusiness Report.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
It's the Agribusiness Report. We're talking challenges facing rural hospitals with Pete Justin, founder, CEO of Ameritrust Solutions. Pete, where can we learn more?
Absolutely. AmeritrustSolutions.com is a website. If you want to, I'm happy to talk about this stuff. I talk about it a lot. It's a problem that exists that we can solve. We don't need government to solve it, right? We can solve this one ourselves. We shouldn't rely on government to do everything. We can solve this problem ourselves. Reach out to AmeritrustSolutions.com. Happy to talk to anybody. By the way, I've also written two books on it, one on the history of Medicaid, how we got here, and I just finished one on Medicaid and rural health care. Anybody that wants them, just send me a note on the site and I'll send them to you for free. I want people to understand these problems.
Again, Pete, thanks for your time. Thanks for the update, and thanks for coming up with solutions. That's, I guess, why you called it Ameritrust Solutions. Again, it's Peter Justin, founder, CEO of Ameritrust Solutions from Arlington, Texas. I'm Tony St. James. It's the Agribusiness Report.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report. Interior Secretary Doug Burgum.
This is part of, again, President Trump's agenda, which is was going to cut red tape. We're going to lower taxes. We're going to reinvigorate the American dream. We're going to make sure that, if there's trade going on, that it was truly fair trade and that the country stopped getting ripped off. All of those things have happened. And so what's happened in a short 15 months, our economy, the foundation of, having lower taxes, less regulation, record amount of investment coming into our economy is going to be an explosion of jobs and capital investment. It's an exciting day for our country, because when people are looking at their refunds this year, on average, the ones that have come in so far have been an average of $3,500. People are getting a refund today of $3,500 because of that. That's a boost for all of them.
It's the Agribusiness Report.